This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
What a try to begin the season for the Chicago Bears.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He's J.J. McCarthy.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long, comedian Bert Kreischer, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Those who are listening on Sirius XM Channel 80, hello. Those who are listening on our podcast version of the show all 3 hours, it's your God-given right to listen to us whenever you darn well please. Hello to you, too. That's the way we roll into this Tuesday program. Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals is going to join us. The Green Light Pod, two-time Super Bowl champ and friendly face on this program, one of our favorites, Chris Long, will join us in the middle of this show. And then shirts off, everybody. Bert Kreischer will be here on the program.
Let's go.
I think Bert's going to be the only one. I don't know if he'll do that or not. But the machine steps into our studio in hour number three. Bert Kreischer will join us. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm doing excellent. How are you, my
DJ
friend?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Good morning, Rich.
Mike Del Tufo in his chair, and TJ Jefferson, candles already lit. Good to see you, sir.
Great to see you guys, man.
Jerry Jones spoke at his local radio station
for
the first time in season. Yeah, Jerry Jones on his Tuesday show, so that's still to come.
No way.
The show. As you know, we always love when Jerry checks in on 105.3 The Fan.
Damn act together.
All of the drop. Save him. Because this is the first time Jerry has spoken on his local radio show since we've migrated to Disney Plus, and all the drops that we've gotten from his past few years. Save him. Get him ready. We'll go down a little memory lane before we hear the latest from Jerry.
We're going to show a whole new group of fans our shenanigans, and I love it.
That's exactly what we're doing. And Overreaction Monday, the podcast, is still out there for you to take in, everybody. Over 200,000 folks have already taken in that program through our YouTube channel, where it lives. In addition to the podcast version, all 3 hours of this show, as I mentioned, is available through the ESPN Pod Center, ESPN Podcast. Same thing with Overreaction Monday, No Contest Wrestling with TJ and O'Shea Jackson Jr. comes later on today.
Ooh, Grayson Waller will be the guest.
Very good. Nice. Good to know about that. By the way, while we're just talking, we went over 400,000 subscribers on TikTok today.
About that.
Words I didn't think I would ever say.
You know,
and we owe it to Xander. Xander, my 17-year-old, years ago, came on when I think he was like 12 or 11, said, Dad, you need to be on TikTok.
Yep. And then I tried. I was like, I can't figure this out, Rich. Yep. I don't know. I can't do it.
Jake Culp and Bean Owen came along and boom, yada, 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 400,000 there. Look at us.
And we didn't have to do no dances.
Well, you know, we didn't have to do a single dance. That is correct.
We do not dance.
Speaking of fortitude and hanging in there. J.J. McCarthy.
Your son.
Listen, everybody around these parts know I'm a University of Michigan guy through and through. So obviously I'm rooting for the guy. And obviously I was beyond crestfallen for this guy, the champion quarterback of Team 144 of the University of Michigan, national champions, last undefeated national champion, and maybe the last ever such thing now that we've got multiple games in a playoff.
Are you mentioning that because last year's champ didn't go?
Oh, that's true. Interesting. Thank you. Yeah, they didn't.
Don't feed the animals.
Feed the beast. Like, come on, man.
No, but in all seriousness, you guys have met J.J. McCarthy. He was on our program.
He was very charming. You really enjoyed him.
You met him maybe for the first time for you the day before the draft. Was it the day of the draft in Detroit? I forget. We did our show from the other. And he joined us. And he was great. He sent me the video that that he had in his back pocket that we showed on our air. His dad, you know, chatting with his mom as she's about to give birth to him. And you could hear the dad say, we're going to call him JJ and he's going to be our little quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, right?
He doesn't say that.
And then he goes and he gets drafted by the Minnesota Vikings and then hurts his knee. And he's out for his entire first year.
and he sits there and watches Sam Darnold win 14 games. And he's got to sit there and wonder, do I have a spot here? Now, we're saying that from the outside. I don't know what Kevin O'Connell was saying to him on the inside. We found out from our buddy Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated that O'Connell was having weekly meetings with J.J. McCarthy while he was convalescing and while he was coaching up Sam Darnold to that position and how well he was playing there while Kevin O'Connell becomes coach of the year for the 14-win Vikings. And sure enough, Sam goes to Seattle. The Vikings put their marker on J.J. McCarthy. And after all the conversation throughout the spring and summer, is the kid ready? He gets barely a cup of coffee in preseason. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, hey, this kid's ready. I'm not there. I just saw what he did in Michigan. And one of the things he also was telling us all the time was, remember he had a smiley face written on his hand?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him what that was about. And he said that when he was in high school in Illinois, in the Chicagoland area, and he said that he was always getting down on himself. And he was also putting himself in such a negative headspace that he would write that, he draw that smiley face on his hand just to remember, have fun. Which is a mindfulness you don't see in somebody that young.
Yeah.
And he also talks about his meditations that he goes through. So he has mindfulness. He would sit there cross-legged at the base of a goalpost in Michigan, getting ready for games. So now the kid's ready. The question is, how's he going to look? And he's playing in his home city in Chicago, where they're unveiling Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson, the new HC of the Chicago Bears for the first time. And he goes 3-and-out. And it doesn't look pretty. And then Caleb Williams shows up in the first 15 scripted for Ben Johnson. Caleb goes 5-for-5, marches down the field, and caps it off by running it in. Okay. And then J.J. McCarthy comes out and has 6 3-and-outs in his first 9 drives. To say he looked overwhelmed is an understatement. The Bears were rushing 4 and getting home. So up front, things aren't looking too great. He threw one of the only good passes he threw in the first half was a red zone dart to his JJ, Justin Jefferson. And he threw it in such a spot where the defender couldn't get it. Only JJ would have to go down and try and make a tough basket catch off the ground. And it hit Justin Jefferson between the 1 and the 8 and uncharacteristically hit the ground. Adam Thielen dropped one. A lot of uncharacteristic Minnesota Vikings stuff was happening. And the Bears were all over this kid. All over him. And then second half, hey, Bears go 3-and-out. McCarthy gets the ball back. He's now on the plus side of the field. Let's go. 3 snaps in, pick six. And not just any pick six. It was not one of those tip drill pick sixes. It was a terrible, telegraphed, the entire world seeing it coming throw that Nashawn Wright picked it off, pick six, that stared at the Vikings sideline going down the field. It's 17-6. The route is on, and J.J. McCarthy's first start of his career is an unmitigated disaster.
Rich, dare I say it was Shawbian.
It was... Ooh. A Shawbian throw, which are words you don't want to say.
No.
You know what you'd rather be compared to? Steve Young. You know what you'd rather be compared to? Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers. And by the end of the night, J.J. McCarthy was. Because this, kids, I'm going to go here. This is a life lesson. Mindfulness, stay calm, believe in yourself. Hopefully you do have people in your corner like Kevin O'Connell looks you in the face saying, we're good. You're good. It sure did not look going into the fourth quarter of that game last night. 6 3-and-outs and a pick six. Not your night. Bears fans going crazy. Your family's in the stands and everybody in Minnesota is going, really? Pining for Sam Darnold. And wondering, does the kid really have it? Is this really, we really changed course for this?
A Steely Dan album.
And by the end of the day and the evening, J.J. McCarthy became the first quarterback since 1950, at least, to come back from a 10 or worse point deficit in the fourth quarter of their NFL debut on the road. The only other quarterback since the middle of the last century to do what McCarthy did at all, and he did it at home. The only other quarterback in their NFL debut to come back from a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter is named Steve Young, who did it in 1985. As J.J. McCarthy became just the first, in week one, became just the third first-round quarterback to win their first NFL start, not in their rookie season, since Aaron Rodgers and Philip Rivers did it. And the Vikings come up with their first victory, trailing by 10 or more points in the fourth quarter since week 15, 2022, against Indianapolis. Remember that one? It was on NFL Network. Indianapolis led by 33 points, 33-0. Remember that one? That massive Kirk Cousins-led comeback? That's the last time they did it. Trailing in the fourth quarter. J.J. McCarthy did it with two passing touchdowns and then one rushing touchdown that put him over the top for good. The first player to come up with two or more passing touchdowns or one or more rushing touchdowns in their NFL debut, Cam Newton. Remember that one in Arizona?
I do. 400 yards.
These are things that nobody thought was in the ether possible based on what we saw coming out of the box with J.J. McCarthy. And the Minnesota Vikings wind up winning a division game on the road in Chicago, leaving the Bears fans in a fetal position. Our call screener, Adam, when you call this program at 844-204-RICH, please be nice to him. He is a fragile person. Oh, already talking gosh. About starting Tyson Bagent.
He really okay? is.
Oh, bet me money already.
So the Vikings did that to the Bears because they had a resilient, tough-minded champion of a kid. I couldn't be prouder. And I really, as you know, have nothing other than just a collegiate connection with him and having met him and interviewed him a couple times. Could you imagine if you're his coach, his teammates? There's video of the moment that McCarthy was circled by his teammates in the locker room that you should seek out. Nobody thought this was possible based off of what we saw in the first half. And then that pick six. Here's J.J. McCarthy after the game.
It's been a long journey, and, you know, 609 days, I think I saw it, was my last, you know, competitive football game, which was the national championship. So it's been a while of, you know, just being in the training room, watching a lot of film, learning the playbook and trying to master that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's such a blessing to be an NFL football player and, you know, play in this league. And, you know, I'm grateful that we get to go out there next week and play the Falcons on Sunday night.
That's right. He goes home, and the next game that you see, the entire country is going to see that one, too. And the guy he's seeing is Michael Penix Jr., who he, prior to last night, was the last quarterback he faced in the national championship game in Washington. And that's a must-win W that the Falcons are going to need. That's going to be a great game on Sunday night, under the lights of the whole country watching. And J.J. McCarthy's used to that sort of scrutiny. And he hasn't lost a game since he stood out on the field watching TCU celebrate in Arizona in that bowl loss. He watched them celebrate, and he hasn't lost a game since.
Yeah, I heard the stat. He's 64-3 dating back to high school.
So, listen, what does he do moving forward? I don't know. All I know is that is a baptism by fire, and he was fired. That dart he threw to Justin Jefferson for the touchdown?
Yes. Yeah, he put some stank on
that. And the other throws that he was making after that pick six, how do you find that reserve? You're either born with it or you're not. Or you learn about it and you hone it. And then, of course, it helps to have the reigning coach of the year, one of the top quarterback whisperers I've seen since covering the NFL in the last 22-plus years, in Kevin O'Connell. This is what he said to the kid after throwing the pick six, after the 6-3 and outs.
So I just told him, just like the whole day, one more, you know, just worry, but let's just keep playing the next snap together, and I promise you we'll find a way. That's what I told him. And he's got an unbelievable look in his eye on game day, and he just kept,
you know, his belief and his trust in himself. And, you know, the phrase that I like to use, you guys have heard it many times, being at your best when your best is required. There's no other time than that than to, you know, have two touchdowns and two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, 21 points in the really darn near close to just the fourth quarter alone. So, really big time moment to build off of.
I mean, and McCarthy became the second quarterback in league history to win their NFL debut on the road in primetime. The other is the guy he replaced in Sam Darnold, who also threw a pick six in that Monday nighter in Detroit, if you recall that. I do. Mm-hmm. And you could sit here and go, well, you know, Sam Darnold didn't work out for the Jets. You know, his head coach also got fired and wasn't a coach of the year who is a quarterback whisperer who was attached to the hip with. And Todd Bowles actually might stand in the way at some point because how well they're playing. But a great first start after you thought there was no chance there could be anything great about that start at all. And the Vikings have got to feel great about themselves. A back pocket division road win out of nowhere in the kid's first start where he's feeling it a ton of confidence now going into the Sunday nighter at home. And they could be 2-0. They beat Atlanta. And then a home date with Joe Burrow. So technically another Michigan-Ohio State, since Joe still claims that and the school still claims him, before the whole country once again watches the Vikings again in Ireland against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, before the whole country watches J.J. McCarthy again in London against the Browns. Both of those last two games on NFL Network, I must say. So, great start, especially when you didn't see it coming, and it leaves the Bears in a fetal position. Let's talk about the Bears.
The Bears.
Listen, the Ben Johnson first drive. At the end of the day, it wasn't. We're not looking at it like Bill Belichick's first drive as head coach of North Carolina because this wasn't a blowout. But it feels that way for the Bears right now. Great first drive. Where do you hang the banner for that? And once the script was done, it sure looked like the offense was different and that Caleb Williams was still fumbling for a light switch. He went 5 for 5 on that opening drive and looked terrific. And other times, he looked in rhythm. He did make some really nice throws. But as the game wore on, last year's offense and the struggles in the final half of that season, it crept back in. Then the Vikings defense found its footing and Caleb couldn't make a first down worth a darn. And the Vikings come back and win and the Bears get shocked and they have an 11-point lead. You know, it's kind of crazy when the pick six goes in the end zone. I had the same feeling that I had when Derrick Henry ran one in against the Bills on Sunday night to make it a 15-point lead in a fourth quarter, and you're thinking, this thing's over.
Over.
And that's when the momentum switched for the teams that were both down by double digits, unbelievably. And the number of times that the Bears, if they could only have come up with a first down here, put some drive together and more points on the board, there's a DJ Moore going towards the pylon wide open, and Caleb airmailed him. And a hospital ball thrown it more over the middle. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. But the bottom line is, listening to Caleb afterwards, I'll express what I think Bears fans are feeling right now.
I think there was a lot of good there. Our communication, you know, I think he was getting the plays in, you know, fast. And I've been able to get out the huddle. You know, we need to be better with that. And I've been able to get up to the line, make checks or whatever the case may be. But you know, I think it's a growing process, that it's, you know, it's going to keep growing, from here. This is the start, but, definitely not the end. So, we'll keep growing. We'll keep you know, being passionate about this offense, him and I, and, passionate about this team and winning.
Now, I think this is what the issue is, and it's potentially unfair for Caleb, but it's the fact. Here he is in his now 18th start in the NFL, start one in year two. talking about growing, and they just got beat by a kid who had his ass beat for three quarters, and in just one quarter gives the impression that he's grown up with his quarterback whisperer coach. J.J. McCarthy leaves Chicago with a huggy drop, fourth quarter. That's the phrase Bill Parcells would always use when a rookie comes into his own. He dropped his huggies. That's one of my favorite Parcells phrases that I've heard. And so McCarthy drafted nine spots after Caleb Williams in just his first fourth quarter of his professional career, showed more than we saw from Caleb Williams after that London game where he threw for four touchdown passes. Unfortunately, let's give him that game in Washington that he had won with a really gritty fourth quarter score, only to have it blown by a Hail Mary. And then after that, you know, obviously Eberflus has a lot to do with it, and that mess it last year. And here the Bears fan, and this is not Caleb's fault, here they are hearing from their first overall drafted quarterback, Xavier, talking about, we're still growing, we're still learning. And McCarthy is all grown up, or at least it looks that way. In just one quarter, Vikings fans are like, we got our guy. And here the Bears fans are like, do we have our guy? Especially since I don't hear Jaden Daniels talking about learning moments. He's already a fully grown-ass man. Fair enough or not. Different situations, different coaching situations. He didn't have Eberflus and the rest of what last year to deal with. This is what's going on, I think, for Bears fans today. Good news is there's 16 more games to go. Good news is that means 16 more first 15 scripted. And a head coach who does, I think, know what he is doing. This is what Ben Johnson had to say afterwards.
I thought he started off really well, and then I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at exactly where those incompletions came in, but it certainly felt like it dried up a little bit, and probably a credit to Flores and the Vikings as well, making some adjustments on their end because some things tightened up as well.
You decided to go for it on fourth and three. What can you take us through your decision-making process on there, and does Caleb need to hit that throw with more open kind of there in the middle of the field?
I'd have to go back and look at exactly from his viewpoint what that looked like, but we liked the call and we liked the decision at the time.
Next up for the Bears. Oh, baby. In the same way J.J. McCarthy singing an old path crosser with Michael Penix Jr., it's the Lions who are going to be taking the field after six straight days of hearing, well, you're missing Ben Johnson. Are you really the same team? And who's coming in for them to prove we don't miss you than Ben Johnson, whose quarterback he needs to have grow up a little bit faster, it appears. I mean, what a game that is going to be with both of them 0-1. Somebody's leaving 0-2. Is it Ben Johnson? Or is it the team that everybody's going to say, you miss Ben Johnson if they're 0-2? Holy crap. Oof. In Ford Field.
That's a loser leaves town game, and you look at that schedule, Bears suddenly staring at 0-5 in the face.
Well, they're home for Dallas at Vegas, which, as you know, is 1-0, a bye week at Washington. Oh, man. And then that one, if they're 0-4, as you just threw out there, coming off the bye, going into Jaden Daniels. But let's just pump the brakes a little bit. It is just week one. That said, the juxtaposition of a huggy dropped J.J. McCarthy, who basically had his huggies soiled through three quarters, and the quarterback drafted first overall saying, we got learning moments still to come here, guys. I don't know if Bears fans are really up to hearing that, but they have to. Let's take a break. Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals. When we come back, your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're going to get to your calls in a second right here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Let's take some calls here on the Rich Eisen Show. Carl in Antioch, Illinois. What's up, Carl?
Oh, what's going on, Rich? I'm a new listener to the ESPN affiliate.
Carl, where you been? This is year 11 for us.
I've been in Chicago, and I got to say, we got a little vacation home up in the Upper Peninsula, so I grew up snowmobiling around a bunch of Michigan fans. Fantastic. So they're my third favorite college.
Okay, you sound like, this is great.
Carl sounds like me, third favorite college.
No, he actually sounds like one of the Swirsky brothers here. This is fantastic.
I'm saying he's got three teams. Like, I like that, Carl.
Carl, do you need a hug about the Bears last night? Because we give out hugs here, just like this guy.
Well, actually, you know, I called yesterday, and I was going to comment, and I actually, afterwards, I didn't make the show. I sent you a tweet, and I predicted that the Vikings were going to win because I got a lot of problems, and I think that we're going to win 5 games. It's at the Superfans with 2 S's on Twitter. I sent it to you, and I tagged Ashton, too, because I know he wants to work with me. I got only 5 wins. I got a lot of problems with the O-line and how they invested. We made a significant growth in our line, but we went from a D-minus to a C-minus. That's a significant improvement, but that doesn't make it a good grade.
It's just,
and Ryan Poles, my problem is with Ryan Poles. It's in the tweet, it's documented. I said Justin Jefferson and Aaron Jones both find the end zone. And next week we're going to lose minus 19, take Detroit.
Yeah.
It's not a good team. Ryan Poles is the kind of guy that when he goes to a fraternity party when he's in college, he spends a couple hours looking at all the good-looking girls and deciding who to talk to, but he doesn't know what criteria to base on what girl to talk to. So he lets all the other good-looking guys pick the girls, and then he waits till 3 a.m., and he just takes all the leftovers. And then when he gets a drunken kiss, he proposes marriage after like an hour.
Carl in Illinois. My God. Carl, listen.
Sounds like my marriage.
Carl, a couple things. First of all, if you want to have me see something, put it on Threads. I've been off of X for a while, that hellscape. Oh. I'm so much happier for it. You have no idea.
We'll see it, though.
They'll see it. Maybe pass it along to me. And do you, my next guest is ready to check in. Do you just need a hug real quick, Carl? Sounds like you do.
I don't need a hug because I kind of want us to get some better draft position. But I have a theory for you because I know you're a Jets fan, too. Maybe. All right. So my whole thing is if you saw the way that Justin Fields was playing, all right, I have a feeling, and this is such a Bears thing, I have a feeling that when it came down to, you know, Bill Parcells got a lot of credit for the Giants being a good team, but the real mastermind was Bill Belichick.
Well, Carl,
Bill Jackson got a lot of credit for the Bulls, but the real mastermind was Tex Winter.
Carl, I got to run. Thank you for the call. Call back, Carl. I'm sorry to cut you off. I never do that. But my next guest is ready. And I think Carl has already said his piece with Ryan Poles with his red plastic cup in the middle of the night. All right.
I love
joining us on behalf of his go-to protein shake, Rockin' Protein, is Pro Bowl tight end of the Arizona Cardinals, Trey McBride. Hey. How are you doing, Trey?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you. You know, I'm sorry we got to you a little late, but our Bears fan who just called in from Illinois needed a hug, Trey. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he was fired up. He definitely needed maybe more than a hug. That was good to hear, for sure.
How's the team feeling after that opening dub in New Orleans, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to start the season 1-0, to get a win on the road is always a good thing. So, team's feeling really good. Obviously, we didn't play as good as we'd want to. We didn't execute everything, so we've got a lot to clean up. But excited for another opportunity this week against the Panthers.
So, what is it about Week One now? You know, the passing game is last 3 years has been less than what it was in the previous 3 years in a Week One. And I'm just wondering, is this still just the fact that not everybody's played a full game together in the world of less preseason action? Is that what we're witnessing, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of it. And obviously, week one's one of those things where you never really know what the defense is going to do. You don't, you know, what you think they're going to do, they're probably not going to do. And for us, with the new head coach and you know, Kellen Moore and things like that, we didn't really have a lot of film on what they were going to do. So it's hard to really guess what everyone's going to do week one. And then going week two, week three, you have a little bit of film and an idea of what a team's going to do so you can game plan a little bit better. I think that's also part of it.
And then I've thrown into the mix, I'm doing NFL Network game day morning on Sunday, and we're hearing Kyler Murray's a little bit under the weather. And I'm wondering how that might have thrown anything off. in week one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not you want your guy at 100%, and you don't want him feeling bad. That could definitely be a part of it as well. But he had enough to get us the win, and we were able to win. So hopefully he can rest up, heal up this week, and be ready to go next week for the Panthers.
Yeah, and being 1-0, coming back home, got to feel good about all of that. Certainly since everybody but the Seahawks in your division won in week one. What do you guys say in this now year three with Jonathan Gannon about your expectation? Playoffs? Do you openly talk about it deep in the playoffs? What do you guys talk about in Arizona?
You definitely. I don't think we openly talk about it, but we definitely know that what we expect of our team, and I think we're a playoff team. I think now we're in year three of Jonathan Gannon, you know, him as a head coach, the system, the culture, everything that he's brought in, and I think it's go time now. Kyler's healthy. Everybody's healthy. We're coming in this year strong, ready to go, and I fully expect, you know, us to make the playoffs and be able to make a run in the postseason.
And what about you? When did you realize you can not only play this game at the professional level, but a very high level with an incredible efficiency and high catch rate, Trey? When did that hit you for the first time?
I think it was just, you know, building confidence. I always knew I was a good player. I knew what I was capable of, but really getting that opportunity and then just week in and week out, building confidence in myself and by the coaches, you know, building confidence in me with the, you know, the plays that they call. And honestly, me and Kyler having a great connection. So I feel very happy, feel very good here in Arizona. And I think, you know, I don't know when it really happened for me, but I think just week in and week out, just building that confidence in myself and knowing what I can do.
Yeah, man. I mean, not to, you know, when folks Google you, Trey McBride, let's just say like somebody like a host of a show to find out where your hometown is, because I like asking people about their hometowns. Greeley, Colorado, right? Is that where you were born? Greeley,
yeah,
Colorado?
I was born in Greeley and then moved to Fort Morgan and really spent most of my life there in
okay,
Fort Morgan.
Very good. The first, you know, there's a section that says people also ask. For some reason, the first question that people also ask is, quote, is Trey McBride any good? And I'm like, yeah, you'll be happy to know the answer is McBride being listed among the best tight ends in the NFL is no surprise. So do you feel like you're overlooked, Trey?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes I definitely feel like that, but at the same time, it doesn't really matter. I know what I'm capable of. I know the kind of player that I can be and what I can do. And I think I just continue to put in, you know, put good things on tape and eventually, you know, hopefully I'll be considered, you know, a good player.
Well, I let's put it this way. You're a terrific player. And obviously, you know, you have an incredible way and a knack of getting open and catching and unfortunately in last year, just not getting in the end zone, catching one as much as you wanted. Although I must say I was at the microphone for your first touchdown reception of the year. So maybe maybe I need to be around you more.
There it is. Yep.
But where can this offense go? How efficient do you think you guys can get here and start putting up massive numbers on that side of the football?
Yeah, I think that's something that we need to do. I think with Kyler fully healthy, a healthy Marvin Harrison, you know, Marvin's going to be taking that next jump into year two. I think he's a guy who can really, you know, stretch the defense and make big plays down the field. Obviously, Zay Jones, James Conner, Mike Wilson, we got so many guys on this offense that can go out and make plays. And I fully, you know, think that we're capable of scoring a lot of points and being a top offense in this league.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Harrison in week one got on the score sheet here. And the question is you just hit it. What makes you think he's going to take that big second year leap, Trey?
Yeah, I think just the confidence that he has in himself, knowing how defenses are going to play him, knowing, you know, how Kyler likes to play, knowing what he needs to do to get open, things like that. And I think, you know, he showed a little bit of it in week one, and I think he's going to continue to show it of all these big plays that he can make and the ability that he has to really change games and be a real big threat for us.
What is Gannon selling that's been bought by the team here?
I think just you know, the toughness, the physicality that he wants us to play with. But most importantly, I think just the culture that he's building, the people that he's brought in, everyone's real bought in and really believes in everything that he's building, everything that he's about. And I really do love playing for him. He's a great head coach, and I'm excited to continue to win a lot of games with him.
If I'm looking for a protein shake, why am I choosing Rockin' Protein?
I mean, there's a million reasons why, but I think the reason, a huge reason I chose them is you know, they're based out of Arizona. They okay. have, you know, the local feel, you know, right here in the state that I play in. You can find it all over the place, you know, the Walmarts, the Family Dollars, the Krogers, all the different things. But the taste is what really sets it apart is, you know, how good it is. They got the strawberry, the vanilla, chocolate flavor, but doesn't leave that chalky taste in your mouth that most protein shakes do. And that's something that really sets it apart from other places.
Where do you have your John Mackey Award? Where do you keep it?
You know, that's funny you ask. I actually have it back home in Fort Morgan at my parents' house, and it's probably just collecting dust in the basement down there. So it's something I need to get out and put up in the house somewhere. That's a special trophy to me.
Is that where they're propping their books up? Is that what you're saying? Like, what are you talking about? What do you
mean? It's just all down there. It's my probably in my bedroom down there in my basement, just collecting dust. And we need to get that out for sure.
Your bedroom was in the basement, Trey? Not to get too
personal. Yeah, I mean, back in Colorado, that's where, you know, that's how a lot of houses are. There's basements and things like that. So my bedroom was down in the basement. It was nice and cool down there. It was fun.
So then what was your NFL dream while you were down there? Like, what were you dreaming about as a kid?
You know, I was a diehard Broncos fan growing up. So, you know, Joel Dreesen was a tight end from my hometown, and I just wanted to be just like him. So I was always, you know, dreaming of how I can, you know, be the next great tight end.
That's
and
awesome.
Love the Broncos and watch those guys. So it was that was always a dream for me.
I'm trying to say, I don't think you play them this year. So
no, we played them in the preseason this year. Unfortunately, we don't play them. Hopefully next year we can get back to Colorado and it'll be a good, you know, welcome home game.
Trey, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate Absolutely. It. And let's do this a little bit more often. And best of luck against Carolina. Then you go to San Francisco. And then we'll see you on Thursday Night Football against Seattle. The whole country can settle in and watch you do your thing.
Absolutely. Can't wait. We'll talk soon. Thanks again.
You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, Trey McBride. I can't confirm. Beast. Can you believe that? Would you want that? Question in your Google, is he any good?
Is he any good? Yeah.
Are people really typing that in? Can you do me a favor? Just do this real quick. Type in, is Rich Eisen any good?
Into sure Google. You want those answers?
I will, yes, I'll take it. Because I think I'm good. You know? What comes up with is Rich Eisen any good?
So the AI overview on Google, is that the Gemini? Is that their Google?
Okay, very
yes, Rich Eisen is generally considered to be a good and well-regarded sports broadcaster and host.
Thank God the AI didn't say solid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'd be in a fetal position as well, like Bears fans are today.
That's right. Known for his insightful sports expertise.
Yes, I am.
Combined with humor and pop culture.
Hey, all right.
Did you write that?
I don't think that's artificially intelligent at all. I think that's actually intelligent. That's real intelligence. Is Trey McBride any good? Yeah. By the way, yes, he is.
Confirmed.
I'm just glad I don't want
to
go
you
against him in fantasy.
You is I don't know. Good.
No, not really putting good.
Wait, search your name?
Any good.
Oh, you need to just do it.
All right, we're taking a break. Now we're off the rails.
I want to ruin my day.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Jerry Jones has spoken. Can't wait for that. That's coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with our Disney Plus ESPN app everywhere stream. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Sideline Mike in Atlanta, Georgia, wants to chime in. What's up, Sideline Mike? Love when you call in.
Well, guys, the last time you heard from me, Michigan was cheating and winning the national championship, and then Ohio State bought the best team money can buy. So how are you, Richard?
I was happier until you broadsided Michigan for cheating when Connor Stallions was long off the sideline by the time they beat Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and J.J. McCarthy's last game sideline. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. I knew he was going to correct me. I threw myself under the bus just so you could back on me, okay?
What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, brother, look, all I got to say is that J.J. McCarthy, hey, man, everybody doesn't do that in the fourth quarter. Do the division game on the road. And what I don't want everybody to do is to start fitting this man for a gold jacket and cap, okay?
No,
can we just pump the brake just a little bit because you know it's coming. But at the end of the day, man, I love you guys. I'm well. I got my first grandchild. It's been
That's what's up.
I'm going to be back. But what I want to know
yes, sir.
is we don't play I'm not a Falcon fan. Michael Parsons, the tight end from Florida. We're not going to get into that. But at the end of the day, the NFC South don't play black and blue football like you saw last night. Remember last time I told you, Rich, don't sit too close to the TV when you got that kind of football being played. You might get a black eye.
Sideline Mike in Atlanta, everybody. There he goes. Always fun when he calls in. I know we have a good laugh when he calls in.
Always.
Man, I was, because again, I'm on Threads, not on X, so I was on Threads. And, you know, when McCarthy threw that pick six, I just popped on, and the number of people are like, well, it's amazing what happens when Colin Stallion's not on the sideline. Oh, man. Bro, I started, by the way, dude, I went in people's feeds that I barely speak to.
I saw it. I mean, for someone who's always telling me, TJ, don't read the comments.
That one, I just
went on Threads
there.
And you were.
No, I was a couple of glasses of Montepulciano. Okay. And
you were like, hey, troll.
I did actually say troll to somebody. I did call someone troll. You saw it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I was typing with my chest last night.
And there was no response either. So,
oh, is that right? No. I felt bad once I hit. Send.
No, you shouldn't. Don't.
I did,
don't,
though. Don't. I do.
Nah, don't. Yeah, don't feel bad at all.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Go ahead.
They talk a lot of trash about us. You know.
Nope, you want to say something?
I don't have anything.
You definitely want to say. You have something you want to say?
I don't.
Say it out loud.
I'll say it. The University of Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, jeez.
12 people drafted off of that national championship team. The eye in the sky in the NFL is not going to miss if they think somebody is good because there's been cheating going on.
If they were so good and had so many NFL players, why did they have to do it?
That, you know what, Chris? That's a great question. Yep. I would love to know the answer to
it. Okay.
That is a mystery I would love to get
an
answer
to. Very bizarre.
But they had... The eye in the sky is not going to be like, let's draft him anyway. Let's see what we got. And J.J. McCarthy is definitely 100% the one human that can end this conversation if he goes on some sort of a run from here on out. But that's not why I'm rooting for him. That is not why I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
He is good people, and I am ecstatic today.
Well, Cherlex, he has whatever it is. He's got an it factor, man.
I mean, you can't not have it if you're going to get your brains beaten in and throw a pick six on ABC and ESPN and ESPN2, and the Mannings are talking about it and the whole country's talking about it, and you find the reserve to do what you did in the fourth quarter like that. There's an it factor. You bet there is. And again, I did go on and I'm like, listen, not there. Gone by Penn State. Gone by Ohio State. Gone by Alabama. Gone by Washington.
Yeah, because the coaching staff just forgot everything that Stallions had told them.
Excuse me, sir.
Come on.
No. Oh, and you don't think any of those teams switched it up? You don't think any of those teams switched it up? You don't think any of those teams switched it up? And if they didn't, shame on them then. Yeah. Shame on them.
I hate that this always comes up.
Well, it brings up, what do you mean? I'm not sitting here talking about it. I'm sitting there in the palm of my hand, and I'm like, troll.
Hey, remember, he's a couple of glasses of red deep.
Troll.
Yeah, it's like.
Get out of here with
troll,
that nonsense.
But they're also pointing out facts.
They were doing it to troll.
And again,
for sure.
If the facts were the facts and the facts were the facts, they'd have taken a banner away and not just fined them millions of dollars. They would have taken the wins and the banners, just like they did to Ohio State for those stupid tattoos that they should give back.
They should have, they're spineless.
Give back spineless. Okay. You know what? Bottom line is J.J. McCarthy won a football game and just showed he's pretty damn friggin' good.
He was great under pressure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hour number two, Chris Long coming up. Jerry Jones has spoken about what? We'll show you. It's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.